All right, good morning, everyone. I'm from the Windows Server team, and I want to talk to you about the new Windows feature in the 2012 R2 called Work Folders. So before I start, I want to just understand how many people have heard or seen or used Work Folders? One? Wow, OK. So good that I prepared the introduction of the Work Folders, and I have some demos and I want to show you. So let's start from here. So it's all start with our trusted file servers. It's been around for, two decades? It's one of the original workload has served on the Windows Server, and people just likes it. And there is still, even today, our market research has shown that there's still exabytes of data deployed to store data on file servers. And it's because simple, it's efficient, and so people just use it. And there's also a very rich ecosystem built around it. Time has changed on how people want to use file servers. This guy is a good example. Do we today provide a good way for them to access the data? That's when we start thinking about how should we enable these people to access their data whenever they want to on their devices. And that's where we start thinking about Work Folders. And so here, introducing the Work Folders. The way we think about it is, it's allowing the information worker to access their own data while the data is centrally located on the file server. So what that gives you, and also it's on their devices, and that gives them that the ability to have the IT admins to manage the data stored on the file server, because that's where the data is centrally located, and to make sure it's compliant and secure, but that at the same time, the data is kept in synchronized on their devices, so user can interact with the data just like they have always been, because it's truly local copy on their device. And our Work Folder is a technology to keep the two or n copies, because you can have one file server have multiple devices all syncing to the same central location. So those n sets of copy will be kept in sync by the Work Folder sync technology. And that's what I'd like to get into today. Any questions so far? So I like to have this interactive. If you have questions, I think we have pretty flexible in timing, so we can keep going and make sure everybody's on the same page. So here I wanted to show you what it looks like on the client experience on the Windows device, how they would be able to use the Work Folders. Okay, so here is one of my Windows 8.1 device. Let me make it bigger, see if I can. So when I just type Work Folders, this has shipped inbox on Windows 8.1. Let me start from scratch. Once you go to Control Panel and then you type Work Folders, this is the first page the user will see. And it provides them the ability to set it up. So if they click on Work Folders, here there's two options. You can either have the user enter by email address or by a URL. So the sync protocol is built on HTTP, so the user will need to, or the client endpoint, will need to know what the server endpoint URL is. And here is one example that depending on the deployment, if the IT admin decide to give the user, each individual user, the URL, then here is where they can enter it. And I'll talk about different client deployment to say like what are the various ways to help to improve this. Alternatively, here by default, we wanted to actually have user to enter the email address. So what that means that they will can use our discovery protocol. What that is that if you enter the email address, we'll take the chunk away the user add part and then append the work folders plus the rest of the domain and then make that the URL to do the discovery. And by doing that, the IT admin need to use this new attribute in the AD we introduced as part of work folders called MSDS sync server URL. They can pre-populate that user attribute in the AD to provide the sync server URL. So user doesn't need to know that. And that also helps from a migration perspective. If you move user from one server to another, the user doesn't need to do anything, and the admin just need to update that user attribute in the AD. And then when the rediscovery happens, and then the user will get redirected to a new server. So in this case, I don't have the discovery in my demo setup, so I'm going to use the sync server URL. I call it syncserver.contoso.com. So here, because my device is not a domain joined device, it's just any my own device. It's not domain joined, it's not recognized. I log on as my own user account, so the domain doesn't have any knowledge about me. And that's why we're going to use Digest to authenticate. So here it's asking me my domain credentials. This page what asking is that because the data that kept synchronized between the device and the server are truly local copy. So this is asking where the location on this device you want to store that your data that's kept in the work folders on the local device. You can change it. Default is just to see your user profile to the work folders. So I'm going to create, I'm not going to select one that I already know. This is a compliance page. So I want to call out two things. One is that the admin on the server has two policies that they can enforce on any of these devices, on the Windows 8.1 devices specifically. One is the we call it password policy, which includes three things. One is that the device must have 6 password length minimum, or and the retry, the number of retries on the logon, attempt logon, is 5 or 10. I need to get back the numbers right now, escape my mind. And then the idle time that the device will be locked is 15 minutes. So these are the minimum requirements that the device must meet. However, it doesn't mean that you cannot have more stricter requirement on the device. You could use other like MDM applications or group policy if it's a managed device. These policies are going to be enforced through EAS engine. I don't know if you are familiar with it, but basically you can think of it like a platform, and each of the application may require different password policy, and then EAS will make sure the most restricted ones set will be applied to the device. So that's the first password policy. The second one is about encryption. So the data on the device will be encrypted if the administrator select that policy on the server, then the device will be automatically be encrypted with this also introduced in 8.1 is called selective wipe encryption. Basically, it is different from the EFS encryption in the sense that they use a different key. So the selective wipe one uses a common enterprise ID, we call it, that allows applications like Intune, for example, can wipe that data that encrypted by that enterprise ID and leaving the personal encrypted EFS data alone. So there you can separate between the user personal data versus their corporate data. So this is a notification page saying that telling the user if your administrator decide to enforce these two policies, they will be enforced on this device. So that's just a notification page. And we can explore on the server side what it looks like later. So by doing that, the work folder is set up on the server. So the data set will start getting trickling and syncing at the background. Here I have a comparison. If I can get the... I have a comparison of another device that I have set up for the same user. One is actually Windows 7, which we just released in end of April this year. So now we're supporting both Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 devices with work folders. So let's take a look if I do a, let's create a new file. So once the file is being created, it gets synced, our sync engine will pick it up and will get sent to the server. So you can see on this client side, because it doesn't have any changes on this side, so it doesn't get to know, there's a change on the server. So our change detection always happens, or our sync always initiated from client to server. So if the change has happened on a device, it will after the change is completed or the file is closed, our sync engine, the background, will initiate the sync to the server immediately saying, hey, here I have a change. And then at that time, the protocol goes in a very high level, goes like the client says that I have a change for you, and the server will also take a look at its own data set for that user and say, do I have any change for you? And so they will communicate comparing so what their differences are. And then there is an upload session to get the changes from client to server, and there's this download session from the server to the client. For the client doesn't have any changes actively, it will ping the server every 10 minutes. So this is just our default on the client to conserve the energy. We don't want to ping too often to drain the battery. So this is, however, if the client is in a hurry saying that I know that I made a change on this device and I really wanted to get on this device, I could also proactively do a sync now. So that will basically say, here I do a ping session right now, and the server right at this point has some changes for this client, and then it will just download that change down to the other client. So this is the rough, very high-level experience of the user on the client side. Any questions so far? Yes? So
I use the almost similar features to exchange, keeping a draft open that I can modify from any device I brought. And that's how I use taking notes. Is there any difference? Because the only specification is there about an exchange.
The question is that, it's similar to exchange.
Open up an email.
Yeah.
And you know, type in something and just go to a draft folder. And I should be able to access from any other device the same have data and email, and it will do exchange, you'll do the syncing. So almost similar.
You're quite.
That is there, part of exchange already there.
If I understand your question, is about how exchange already syncing.
Yeah.
Mail per se to different devices. How is that different from this?
I'm talking about the draft when you are actually entering clearly
yep.
The mail, and did it have done and can be accessed from another device?
And from especially like I think I understand like how is that different from exchange having like if you open a draft email, how is that different from like syncing from devices in this one? Conceptually, if you talk about scenario-wise, if you just wanted to have information be available on different devices, I think what you said is one way. What work folder is really about is that if you have data that's stored on the file server that you want to access, and that how you can access that the data on the file server than on your, all your devices. And the sync technology at the background is different, that I can tell. And your information that you stored on file server, there you can give the IT admin the control of how they wanted to manage those data. There is a rich ecosystem around built around the data management, around file servers. I'm a little away now from Exchange, so I think they have some kind of data management, but I can't speak to that at this point. But I think from Workfolder's value prop, it's really about giving the IT pro the control over the data on the file server. And the Workfolder is really providing another way of user to access that set of data, giving them more freedom to access on their devices, like not managed devices, for example, and yet also providing the IT admins the ability to have the policies to be enforced on those devices, and also the their existing infrastructure they have already built around the file servers.
I think your question is really about do we sync things that are in process? Outlook will periodically, depending on what you've said, will sync the we'll sync the drafts as you work on them. That we actually have a great product that will do that. It's called OneNote. If you want that kind of just capture your work as you do it, we'd recommend you use OneNote. As Jane says, this is about moving files around. We move the files when they're closed and sync them between devices so that they're accessible in various places.
So the question is that how is this different from OneDrive? I'll give you a very high-level answer. I think Jim probably can append more on that.
You have the slide on that?
I don't have the slides on that one. OneDrive is the position as the consumer for consumer data, and Workfolders is for the file server data. And there's also another one called OneDrive Pro, is for the SharePoint data. So they're just different client endpoint front piece that depending on where your data is located.
So from a protocol's perspective, it is the same across all the things? Like the sync protocols are same?
The question is, are the sync protocols are the same across different? Right now, no. Jean, do you want to add to that?
No, they're not the same right now. The way you should think about this is put your personal data on OneDrive. OneDrive has a consumer, free service, personal data should go there. Enterprise data, customers want to have some control over that data. They want to be able to have copies of that when the employee leaves. They want to be able to apply policies. And enterprises are choosing two different places to put data. Some put it on SharePoint and some put it on file servers. So the data on SharePoint, OneDrive for Business syncs that. Data on file servers, Workfolder syncs that. That's the simple story. We're working behind the scenes, and over time we'll make that more seamless.
All right. So here I wanted to touch on the three different client deployment methods we offered for the IT admins to deploy. The ones that I just demoed is the first one, called menu deployment. Basically, user open up the control panel, decide on when they wanted to set up Workfolders, and then the there's two sub method there. They can either enter the URL or using the discovery if the IT admins decide to deploy that. The second one is called opt-in. Those ones are, that one is basically on those managed devices, either through group policy or through Intune, that the IT admin can set the sync URL configuration through those policies and set on those devices. So when the user open up the control panel later, they don't need to know what the sync server URL is. They will skip to the second page where they pick the local location on where the local path they want to store the work folder's data. The third one, which we don't recommend, but we certainly recognize in some environment is valuable for very strictly managed environment where they wanted to do mandatory. Mandatory meaning that not only that they can set the sync server URL, they can also, through the group policy extension, our client will be able to set up the work folders all transparently without user interaction. At the background when the user logs in. So with the third one, the things to watch out for is that when user comes in to log on, then all their group policy agents start setting up the work folders, and then there's a lot of data traffic involved because initial sync will basically involves a larger data transfer because you basically either have a lot of data getting downloaded from the server or you have some kind of existing folder that you want to make that, or the IT admin has made that a work folder, then a lot of data will get uploaded to the file server. So if there is the need to use the mandatory setup, our recommendation is you make sure you phase out the rollout, like make sure a small subset of users try out and then roll out slowly and not have everybody come in and trying to set up at the same time, Monday morning especially. All right, so we have looked at on the client side, and I'd like to take a look at what are the different components that we have on the server side. So on the server, we have the work folder is a new role under the file server roles. I'll demo that in a minute. I can show you where it is put down. And then the object of management on the server is called a sync share. So I want you to think of the sync share like a SMB share that you're familiar with. It's basically an object, and you can enable on a local path. You make that a sync share. What that means is that now user can come in to access the data underneath that or their own user folder underneath the sync share using the work folder sync protocol. So all your management are at the sync share level. For example, who can access that sync share? Today, we basically there is a parameter. The admin doing configuration, you say this security group users can access the sync share. And when we do sync, we'll do a check saying, does this user belongs to the security group that administrator has set up? If that user get removed from the security group, it will get a denied access from that sync. And then there's additional, like the policy that I mentioned, the password policy and then the encryption policy are all set per sync share. And then the last one is this file stays in sync across all the devices. How we do that? Let's take a look at the I'll keep that in a little bit. But one thing I want to point out is that I want you to think of the sync protocol as additional access point to the data set and is orthogonal to SMB, meaning that you can have the same share or the NTF, the same data set can be exposed through SMB or through work folders. So they're not conflicting or they're not interacting that way. The only thing that interesting is that if you have a data set that exposed through both SMB and through work folders, data change comes in from the SMB need to be picked up by our enumeration process. By default, our enumeration process on the server is every 5 minutes. So what that means is that if you have a change that comes in through SMB or actually through local. So if someone got onto the server itself and changed the data locally, that change will not be picked up until the enumeration is run. So there's a delay for that. Yes?
How is the interop going between SMB clients and sync clients? I mean, we can have range locks, we can have list states. How is it honored?
Okay, so the question is, how is the SMB access interop with the work folders client access? The answer is they don't really interrupt per se, because your SMB client is accessing the files on the server. Your work folder clients are accessing the file on the device itself. They're different copies. Our sync engine at the background will keep track of the different versions and will make sure when they when things change on one side, they get synchronized at the background. There's no conflict per se saying like they're competing on the same file handle, on the same object. Does that answer?
But if I have a list state, let's say I took an exclusive list and I have a sync client which wrote to its local copy, but then the sync protocol syncs, I have a interruption on the client side.
Okay, so the question is what happens when sync at the background encounters a file that has been opened by an SMB client. So in this case, so our sync, actually what happens is that when the file gets uploaded, we don't upload to the file final destination directly. We upload to a server staging folder, we call it. So it's a temporary folder to make sure all the file, because sometimes if a larger file, you can't just transfer the entire file at one go. We break it up in chunks, and we upload the chunks into that staging folder until it's all complete. Then we mark the file as it's ready. And the next process we call apply. Apply means that rename the files that the uploaded file that from the staging folder into the final destination. At that time, if the file is handle open, then we're going to hit a failure. So it means that we'll not be able to apply until that file handle is closed. Then we're going to get into a different set called conflict resolution, because then now the file has changed on the server, the file has changed on the client. So we have our conflict resolution logic basically to ensure that changes are captured. Conflict files are going to, we have certain logics that determine what is the winning file. So the winning file will keep the original file name. The losing file will be renamed into the original file plus the device, plus the device where the conflict gets generated. So that provide the user, and we keep both copy, and we're going to sync both copies to all their devices. So the user will pick and say, oh, this file, there's a conflict. This conflict, I made the changes on this device, and this is my winning file, and they will do the merge at the, themselves. Yes?
So syncing is not, you are actually sending the older file, and difference is computing every time by the sync.
The question is that do we do delta sync? And the question, the answer is no, you're right. We, at this time, we do the entire file for sync.
Right. And the bottom line is you can end up with conflicts, but we'll honor the opLux, and you're not going to get corrupted files in the process.
But there is really no correct way of doing one way. Conflict resolution, there is no correct
way.
There is
no.
always honor cases that you have to take either time-wise or
yes, once you hit a conflict, and work folders is designed so that you can have two completely separated systems that have the possibility of acting on the same file, then you need to synchronize them. There's no distributed lock mechanism that tries to reach clients that may be unreachable. So you can have a conflict. We will preserve the data so that you'll get both copies, we'll put them in the same directory, have them line up right next to each other, and we'll let the user decide which data to keep. So we won't corrupt the file, we won't lose either set of edits, we'll pick a winner, but the losing file will still be there with the data in it.
Yep, just one more question.
Your question is SMB like NFS?
Oh.
Essentially.
Sync share.
Think of it as there are three different protocols you can access that data. There's actually four. You can have local access, NTFS, and there's a namespace. NFS, SMB, and sync share are three different ways where you can pick a subset of that namespace and expose it remotely. That you can use the same name for all three of them, or you can use different names. You can pick different points in the namespace, but there are three different remote access methods for a portion of a file namespace.
All right. So here is a topology that I wanted to, the single server deployment I want to talk about to each of the objects that we needed for the sync to work. So here is our most trusted file server. We enable the work folder access on the file server. And for the work folders, we require the domain to be present. So the file server needs to be part of a domain to enable the sync shares. And here's something new. It's called reverse proxy. This is about when you have the devices that are not domain joined, are not managed, they're connecting over the internet. They need to have some sort of way to connect to the file server in this domain. And so you need to publish a URL here that so that allow these all the non-domain joined devices can connect over the internet to that, to the eventually the file server. Here I made an example is, like I call it the file server work folders, and so this is the URL. And you can notice there is the HTTPS. So all the data that's on the wire are encrypted with SSL. And that means that you have need to put on a certificate that matches that subject header. And you can have the devices that internal, so basically domain joined devices that connect to the file server directly. You could also get them routed outside and then connect from the reverse proxy as well. So it really depends on, because these ones really, they can just move around. They can be your laptop that connected in the domain and then can be going when you go home and then they were connected over the internet. So from the server perspective, especially on the authentication, we support two types of authentication. We support the Windows integrated. We also support ADFS. So I'll go to the details how the ADFS support in a little bit. And so here on the file server is the one that user or the IT admin is really familiar with. They can do all these type of data management on the file server. If they have already been doing that, they can continue doing that, and this work sync protocol just works with them. So I talked about the device management where you can have the file encryption, you can have the password. One thing I didn't mention is limited to registered devices. This is a new concept that Server 2012 R2 has introduced called workplace join. Does anyone familiar with that? So I can touch a little bit on that. So the ADFS in 2012 R2 introduced this new capability called workplace join. It's a Let me see if I have it here on the device, on my demo. It basically allows the device to be known to the AD object. And the device is, again, the bring your own devices. It's actually in the PC settings. And it's under network. Okay, how do I get rid of this one? This is workplace join. So here you actually can see there's two parts here. One is the second one is when device management turn on, your IT admin can set up apps on your devices. So the first one, join your workplace network. This is when the environment has the ADFS presence, and then the IT admin can set up policies in ADFS saying that I only allow registered devices to access my corporate data. So with doing that, then the device must basically go through this process to register itself in ADFS. And on the ADFS side, when our work folder client to get the ADFS token, which I'll go through that in a little bit later, in detail, then the device will have the capability of to access the work folder data on the file server. So this basically gives the IT administrator another layer of security to manage the BYOD devices. All right, so let's now take a look at what happens on the server side. This is my server 2012 R2 server. With open up the server manager, when you look at add role wizard, here is under the file and storage services. So this is the work folders role that we have added for this release. And if you want to enable that by going through the wizard, I have already enabled it. And then you're going to get this work folders management panel. So at the top, it shows the number of sync shares that I've created. In this example, I already created a sync share for the demo user. And then at the bottom here, you can see which are the users are allowed to sync to this share. And you can also right click on this user to see what the properties, like what these users are and how many devices it has been syncing to this for this data set, and what are the data set that where it's located on the server. Let's go through it quickly to just see what the new sync share looks like. So here I can pick a location. Let's just test share. Created. Oh, one of the things that actually you probably can see for this one to answer the other person's question, you can actually, if I had SMB shares, it would actually list it here as well. So you can simply enable existing SMB shares to make it allowed to be accessed through sync. This one is saying that typically by the for the user folder, it just each of the user gets its own folder with the user alias as their folder, right? Here what we actually also adding another support saying you can also expanding that just not user alias but user at domain. So when the user comes in sync, if the folder is not created on the file server, we'll create it with a format with the user alias at a domain. So if you have users that coming from multiple domains, they can be on the same share and without conflict. I'll just call it a test share. So here is you can specify a group of users that can sync to this share. If the user are not part of that group, they will not be able to sync to this share. I don't know if I have a... Okay, so basically I'm creating a sync share for the finance users. Here is the policy that I can enforce on those on the data set or on the devices that comes in to sync that data set. So the first one is about encryption. Like do we need to enforce the encryption on the devices? And what the second one is about the password policy. So that's it. That's all you need to create a sync share. And now if I have users put in to the finance share, they will be able to start syncing from that share. Well, I don't have one right now, so. So that's the server side of management. Any questions so far on the server? No? Okay. Good. Then let's take a look at the details on how a file has stayed in sync. I touched on this one a little bit, but let's recap. So on the client side, there is a data directory. It's where the user during the setup specify what path, local path I want to set up the folder. And then there's a version database. This is the interesting piece of where, how we're tracking different versions across different endpoints. So endpoint is basically the user devices and on the server. For the same data set, we have it, on the, each of the endpoint, we have a JET database. And we build on this knowledge tracking or the version tracking on top of MSF, the Microsoft Sync framework. So every time when the sync or the protocol goes on to communicate of what I need to sync, they compare the knowledge in the database, and then they decide which file has changed since the last sync, and then they will do the file transfer later. And then there's also a staging folder for the client is download, because it's basically when the file server downloads a copy, you need to put in that staging folder and then reapply it later. And then on the server side, it's a matching objects. There's the data on the server, truly local copy on the server. There's the version table, same as on the other the client endpoints, and also it's we call it an upload staging folder, because it's when the client need to upload the data, it goes to the staging folder. So when a file gets changed on any of the device, it initiates the sync quickly to the server and say, I have a change. And the server and the file also gets uploaded to the server, to the staging folder, and then it gets applied to the data directory once the upload is completed. And when the second client comes in to sync to the server, it will get downloaded again to the client, and then apply to the data to the client data directory. So that's kind of a very high level of how file stays in sync. So the call out again here is basic. Each client have one partnership to the between the client and the server. Client always drive the sync. So the server never initiate the, let me just finish this one. The server never ping the client. It's always the client to connect to the server. And then the change, when the file gets completed from the staging folder and then the apply, that's when the conflict could happen. And then that's where our conflict resolution comes in, as we just talked about, to resolve the conflict. Yes, question?
This protocol looks very similar to TFSR, which is used between two domain controllers. Is it the same protocol under the
The question is that how is that different from DFSR sync?
Not from the concept that we are.
Oh, you mean talking about protocol perspective?
Yeah.
The answer is DFSR sync is using SMB, right? No. Okay. I mean, so it's different, but how should I describe it? It's a completely different protocol. Gene, do you have a more better sense for it?
DFSR is a technology that we've had around for about 15 years now. It has some things that it does really well, some things that it doesn't. It certainly doesn't work between clients and servers. We built this from the ground up based on Microsoft Sync framework to be designed to be a distributed system to enable clients client sync to servers. Over time, expect us to do some more rationalization there. But this is not, in this release, not something that you would try to use to synchronize server to server.
I thought that DFSR actually was a completely rewrite of FRS.
It was, but that was a long time ago. Yeah, DFSR, again, has been around quite a while. And this is what we consider the next iteration and generation of sync technology.
Yes.
You can expect to see, let me just guess, you can expect us to see, to have more things built on this technology over time. The question is it designed to replace SMB? The answer to that is no. There are a number of things that SMB is really good at, even apart from the server application workloads that we've done recently with SMB3, Hyper-V and SQL workloads, for instance. There's a lot of app compatibility that is applications designed to use SMB remoting. That's going to be around for a long time. And for local access, it works just fine. If you're inside the firewall in a data center, it works fine. This is designed because the expectations of users have changed from a purely client-server world to a distributed BYOD world. And this is about supporting that change in expectations of users that they can take their files with them on not only their desktops, but eventually on phones and all sorts of devices, and use them anywhere in the world. So it's a different kind of scenario than SMB was designed for. So the question is, have we thought about how to combine server-to-server with client-to-server sync? The answer is yes, we have. I don't have anything to announce yet, but stay tuned.
So actually, I just want to call out one thing you're talking about. How does DFSR and workflow address interop in a way? So if I go back to one of the slides that I mentioned, there's actually two things that is very important for work folders. There's the data itself. There's also the versioning, the metadata, we call it. The metadata is very, very important to make the data consistent. So when you do DFSR, you think about data, right? The only data. We don't recommend to replicate the metadata, because when that's out of sync, they can cause corruptions. So whenever we detect corruption in our database, we actually delete our database. And then we fall back to enumeration, basically trying to figure out what the file version that on myself, on this endpoint, what do I have? And then we build this database ground up again. We don't ever recommend you or anyone to replicate that metadata across different endpoints. Because whenever that's out of the metadata and data itself out of sync, bad things can happen. So that answers some of your part of your question, that when you do DFSR replication, you can from a data DR perspective, but we don't recommend you have one of the client roaming between two endpoints, because your metadata is about my endpoint and to a known endpoint. Once you have the data roaming, then this client once knows about this file server A, for example, it kept syncing. And then if it disconnect and trying to sync to file server 2, it doesn't know about file server 2, actually. So it need to rebuild the whole database. And if that metadata is not built correctly, and then or not built per se, but it's not for roaming purposes, you can do it from a DR perspective.
To put that in a different way, this is built on the Microsoft Sync framework that has a set of metadata, sync metadata, that enables efficient and highly reliable sync between two endpoints. That is capable of supporting interesting topologies with arbitrary numbers of sync copies in there. But if you try to make a hop between one server that has that and another server where you don't have sync framework being used to replicate between them, you end up with a risk of loops. So never create a sync that has a loop or that has a break between the sync framework sync connections.
All right. How am I doing on time? Am I late? OK. I have a few more slides now. Just touching on different aspects of the work folders, one thing I want to call out about the communication protocol. So by default, clients always connect to the server using 443. Client never connects using 80, because client itself, it doesn't know whether I'm over the internet or on the internet. So it's always trying to, it will always connect to 443. There is registry setting. You can set it to connect to 80, but I'm not recommending that, because you never know whether that device will be have a chance to go outside of corporate and then or the domain, and then you end up transmitting things that on using port 80, which is not safe. So and that means that a file server or your reverse proxy, your gateway, there need to have a certificate that we can establish the SSL connection. There is a way that you can terminate the SSL at the edge. So some deployment that I've heard about, that they wanted to inspect the network traffic internally, and so they want everything to be clear. So you could do that, but make sure the certificate is on the edge, and then the client will always connecting through the edge. Even your internal client will go through the reverse proxy from outside to come in. So the last one is we allow that HTTP connection through a registry. Yes? Yes, it is. So the question is, what's the protocol name, and did we document it? The answer is yes. It's MS-ECS. It's published. You can find it on MSDN. It is, or MSDN or TechNet.
Yeah, plus the
safe framework. So there's actually, good point. Thanks, Dara. So there are actually two protocol specs. One is the MS-ECS, describing the protocol communication on the wire. There's also another one. It's a tough name. It's file system, I'll try to remember it. It's algorithm protocol spec. Yes, thank you. Can you repeat the name again?
MS-FSVCA.
MS-VCA, that's right. So that one is about the data structure the sync protocol uses to basically describing how the knowledge transfer, the vector that we use to compare the file, different versions of the files. So there are two of them. FSVCA, I think. So the last one here is the end-to-end protocol, how we think, because right now it's basically about bring your devices to the corporate, access your data now belongs to the corporate environment. These are the aspects that we are ensuring, providing the IT admins a way of managing and securing those data. So the first one, starting from the sync share permission, the client, the user, will come in and authenticate, and the IT admin need to make sure that user can access a certain sync share. If it's not, then we're going to deny that right away. We also do another level check, actually. On the user folder, we check if the user is the owner of that folder. So for example, if I created a folder for you, for example, and then you come in and try to sync to that folder, we're not going to sync it, because that means that I can just steal your data, right? So that's, and then the second one is the SSL. We make sure the data transfer on the wire is encrypted. On the device at rest, the data can be encrypted as well. And because of the enterprise ID, the new technology that we used, that also give the IT admin a way to wipe that data. And then the device can be enforced to be locked, and there's also password policies. The limit to registered devices is mentioned as part of the ADFS. I'll go through the ADFS authentication in the next few slides, so you can get a feel for how the ADFS authentication can, in addition to provide security to the devices or to enforce the security on that device. And then because the data is on the file server, so all the the FCI, RMS, the data leak prevention around that file server can continue to interrupt with the work folders. And same on the same at, for the antivirus. Okay. So the next few slides, I want to go through the ADFS authentication workflow. So this is the topology example. When you have ADFS, basically you have ADFS in this domain. And on the sync server, there is a server setting that you can go to. The default of the authentication is the Windows integrated, and you can change that into ADFS. Let me show you where that is at. When you go to the servers, this is a sync server, and if you right-click on it, you can see the work folder settings. This is the authentication page you can change. So by default, you can see it's the Windows authentication, and if you have the ADFS server, and this is where you put in the URL. So let me go through the flow quickly. So when the client on this side is the work folder client, it will go through one of the reverse proxy, as I labeled is the web proxy, and to the sync server asking for sync. And the server will come back and tell the, because now the server is configured with using ADFS, and it also has the information about the URL. It will pass back to the client and say, here's the ADFS URL. Go get a token from this URL. And now the client will go, using that URL, contact the ADFS server. Now here is where the ADFS server will check its own policy and saying, what does the requirement the client must met before I can give you a token? So here, as an administrator, you can configure that I have to know about your device. I have to know about this device, meaning like a workplace join, for example. So if the device is not workplace join, ADFS server will not give that token. Actually, not in this step. Here is basically prompt the user for authentication. User comes back, send the credentials, and server will, here is actually evaluating, does this client meet the requirement that I can give you back an access token? And once the client gets that token, it will give back, pass back to the sync server, and our sync server basically have the additional logic to evaluate that token. If that token is valid and meet the requirement, and if that user can access the sync data on that server, and that's where it's initiating hold the sync process. All right, so here's some the quick takeaways I would like to go with. Understand the high-level understanding of what work folder is about, and it's really meant to be simple to deploy and simple to use, and truly allow the user to be able to access their data on their devices wherever they are. At the same time, providing the IT admins the power of controlling that data and making sure it's compliant and secure. So that's all for the session. Thank you very much for your attention. I hope you liked it.